The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It is a Thursday afternoon. The date is July the 7th, 2016. As we get ready to wind up another work week, I hope that my voice finds you in relative safety and of sound mind, because I'm about to go crazy, man. You know, well, I shouldn't say go crazy, but I'm just kind of stressed out. Got that traumatic stress disorder going on with just seeing more snuff films, and then the impact that I'm seeing that it's having on one of my daughters. And I'm talking about the two recent killings of black men, both of them armed in these individual instances. It appears that they were armed. One of them we know was armed because he had a concealed carry permit. And as his fiance looking at his body as he's dying, looking at him as he's dying in the driver's seat of the car after this cop then just shot him for no reason, you know, been informed, the cop had been informed that this man was armed, legally armed. And so that's why I've always said, you know, it don't matter if these people are unarmed, if they are armed, why are we even making a distinction? Let's look at the individual facts of each individual case and then judge, was it reasonable for these victims to lose their lives? And just from even those who think that training cops is going to solve the problem, of course, a lot of people shouldn't even be cops, regardless of any kind of training that they get. But, you know, just viewing the videos that I saw on these two recent killings, there were a lot of procedural things that were wrong. You know, the man, and I'll pull up his name, that was killed, that had the that was in the car with his fiance. That officer had to have pulled his gun out as soon as he was notified that, look, I'm armed, I have a concealed and carry permit. Now, if this man intended to do a cop harm, why would you even tell him you armed? Why would you inform them that you have your permit and all this and that? Why would that cop be so afraid? You know what I'm saying? Why, you know, how did this man pose a threat? So, you know, again, whether you're in legal possession of firearms or legally possess these firearms, you know, it doesn't make a difference. We're still ending up with dead people on the streets of this country. So this kind of has been I'm not, my daughter, my oldest daughter, has always been somewhat conscious, but I'm starting to see a change in her wanting to join with other young people in the streets, which she has participated in a couple of protests in Charlotte. But today she's so upset, you know, wanting to go to work and wanting to put Black Lives Matter on the back of her windshield, just anything out of the frustration and whatnot that she's feeling. And so, you know, I'm like telling her, you don't want to do that. You don't want to attract attention to yourself on the street, on the highway. They'll make up a reason to pull you over. They'll say that, you know, whatever you put on the back of your window is obstructing your vision, your out your rear. They will make up a reason. And so, you know, but then at the same time, trying to explain to her that, because she's saying, what, oh, so I should be scared? Should I be scared? Absolutely not. You should not be afraid. You shouldn't be scared of white people and white power. You know, no. I don't want my daughter to have a spirit of fear, but also you got to know how to move behind these enemy lines. You can get to wherever you're going and join with whoever you're going to join with without attracting attention to yourself along the way, is what I was trying to explain to her. But it's just really weighing on her. Seeing both of these videos. And so when we talk about people being radicalized and people talking about websites and people on the radio is radicalizing young people, no, it's the oppression, it's the extrajudicial killings, it's the bombings, it's the drone attacks that radicalize people. It ain't got nothing to do with so-called assume freedoms in this country or somebody else hating us for any assumed freedoms we have. All they had to do is watch the news and see that black people is oppressed. Oh, what did Omar Mateen say? Black people have suffered enough and what have you. But that's what they, you know, all this democracy is why people want to attack the United States and what have you, and never taking any responsibility and accountability for the actions of you know, your government, the people in government. They never want to be held accountable. They never want to acknowledge that perhaps your behavior is what is making people hate you and want to do bad things to you. So when we talk about radicalizing people, well, when you're facing radical extermination, you know what I'm saying? It's that extermination that's radicalizing somebody, not any words I'm speaking, not any words anybody else is speaking. No, that's not what radicalizes people. That's not what makes people militant. Because I'm starting to hear people now, more and more people just talk about methods need to be taken that you can't talk about openly on these airways, but they hint at it. And these are from people like in their 60s. These are elders that I'm hearing, this so-called, you know, middle class people that I'm hearing. They're just so frustrated. But then there's a number of people in denial. So lots to talk about today. We do have two scheduled guests. I would say it's appropriate that we had a guest scheduled for today to talk about the convention of the oppressed, as we scheduled Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is the one who put it together and who will be the host of this convention. And it's bringing a lot of black people together, and some other non-white people will be participating as well. But I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know, you got some figures in here from the mainstream to the grassroots. So there's a diversity of black men who are scheduled to participate in this conference that will happen on July 15th through the 17th in Cleveland, Ohio. So we'll talk to him about that here in just a bit. And then during the second half hour, we'll be speaking again with Mr. Quabena, Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project, they have some upcoming actions towards ridding their communities of the airwaves of toxic music. That is the soundtrack of some of the destruction that's going on in our communities. And some of it's self-inflicted, but, you know, at the same time, then why is it appropriate if these behaviors are incorrect? Why is it appropriate for corporations to air, corporations to sponsor and pay money to promote that type of behavior through the radio airwaves? So we'll be talking to Mr. Quabana during the second half of today's program. We're just scheduled for an hour, but we may go over if need be. But I do want to open up the floor until our guest calls in. Open up the floor. Anybody has anything to say? How you feeling about these latest snuff films of black men that have gone viral on the internet? I think I've been hearing some statistics. I think Max was sharing some on New Abolitionist Radio last night, and we were hearing that 600 or so black people have been killed in this country. Give me a second, because I may have to call the guest. So I'm going to take a station identification break. Well, not really a break, but play some music in the interim. And because I may need to call the guest, Mr. Shabazz, so y'all bear with me and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
So the cross, what we're talking about, that the African stands at the crossroad, it stands at the crossroad of human history. And here again, Africa is preparing to again stand at the crossroad to lead the rest of the world that did not exist in history. What I'm saying, not that the Greeks did not exist, or certain aspect of the Asians. What I'm saying, that no one knows them in history during that particular time when the Africans were already set in the framework for human civilization. Let us go back. Let's go at 4100 before the common era, as you would say, BC. And see if you see any Christian there standing up, any Muslim, any Jew, if there's a God named Jehovah yet, a God named Jesus the Christ, or a God named Allah. Any man in here, I will stop and give you 10 minutes. Anyone, if you're a man, you're a minister, you're a rabbi, you're whatever, come up and show that I'm lying.
Yes, can I help you?
Yes, we are trying to get in touch with Attorney Shabazz. This is Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio. We have an interview with him today.
It's right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me do it with you right now. Hold on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, so yeah, we will talk to Mr. Shabazz about this upcoming convention that will take place again in Cleveland, Ohio on July 15th through the 17th. And so, Mr. Shabazz, anytime, let us know when you're ready. Again, this is happening now. They will be going.
Hello, Scotty.
Hey, Mr. Shabazz. Uh-huh. Good to speak with you again.
All right.
All right, so I've been, you know, let's just cut right to it. This convention that will be taking place, the Convention of the Oppressed, y'all will be going into this convention under the backdrop of two more black men being gunned down in the street by police officers And there's just a whole lot of anger out there right now, Mr. Shabazz. And so this is, you know, weeks before the convention. And I know this is going to be one of the main topics because, you know, I followed your work over the years in police brutality and terrorism is something you certainly have addressed, as well as a number of people who will be on this panel. But, I mean, this just underscores the need for black people, I feel, to put whatever differences aside, come together. And we, brother, we need some solutions, man. We've been talking about it for years, and people are frustrated because this isn't getting resolved. So what are your thoughts going into the convention with this sort of backdrop of these recent killings of black men?
With these recent murders of black men in front of our faces, it justifies the title, Convention of the Oppressed. And it certainly makes me understand once again why I called it the Convention of the Oppressed. It is clear we are oppressed. It is clear that the police are oppressing us. It is clear that racism is oppressing us. And it's clear that a convention, which is going on here in Cleveland, the 14th through the 17th, a convention is absolutely necessary. All of the generals, all of the activists, the organizers, all of the dissatisfied, the angry, the mad, all of us. We got to come together now like never before. It is an absolute state of national emergency, and our convention comes at exactly the right time. Right now, we need to be trying to figure out what the hell are we going to do, because we're at war, and it's only going to get worse.
Yes, sir. And I was quite impressed in looking at the materials, impressed by the diversity of people who will be participating in this, because as I've, you know, often said on my program, look, we are not a monolithic people, although we are unified by the oppression that we face under racism and white supremacy. But many of us come from different backgrounds, have different education levels, have different life experiences. And while we all may acknowledge the problem, we may have different solutions. But I think, you know, unity is just very important. And I was impressed with the diversity of people, because you got people that we see in the mainstream, like Lamont Hill, to grassroots activists, to the what we call, you know, the conscious grassroots scholars and whatnot. So you got a diversity, and even some American Indians will be participating. So this had to be in the works for a while, and to get this number of people to participate. So I know a lot of organization went into this, but when did you first have this vision, and how did it play out? And organizing it,
I would say this played out over 27 years, brother.
Okay.
Since I was at Howard University, and I can show you paperwork when I was a college student, when I had big visions of having a super summit, and my organization at that time was Unity Nation, and I had big conferences, and I had dreams of bigger ones. I always wanted black people from different walks of life to come together. Over the course of the decades, and being the head of the New Black Panther Party and the student movement, right-hand man to Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, in the courtrooms here, local activists here, I bet all kind of people, and they are reflected on the lineup for the Convention of the Oppressed who are coming to Cleveland. This is diverse, because I've been able to, on the battlefields and being across the country in the courtrooms and all of that, I've been blessed to make an impression on and to meet a lot of people. So when you have a Cornel West, who is older but a scholar of legend and an activist, mixed with cats like New Era Detroit and New Era Chicago, mixed with people like Arthur Reed, who we call Silky Slim, you've been seeing him on the news down there in Baton Rouge, with that case, brother, it comes about, it's a reflection of my ideology. I'm grassroots, I'm an activist, I'm a nationalist, I'm friends and comrades and allies with the Panther Party and other revolutionary groups. I'm also an attorney, so I have an appeal to even the middle class, the professors and and those that are well placed in society. I go amongst them also. So overall, my dear brother, the convention lineup is a reflection of my ideology, how I feel about the movement and how I see our people and how I appreciate the diversity in struggle. It also is a reflection of hard work and struggle and those that I met on the battlefield. That's pretty much the backdrop.
Now, the convention will also take place just ahead of the Republican National Convention, where Donald Trump is expected to get the Republican Party's nominee. You also mentioned, you know, Dr. Cornel West, who we know was an advocate for Bernie Sanders' campaign, but he's being targeted now by the DNC because of his activism on behalf of Palestinian rights in trying to, you know, make the BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, which has a long history with black people using that, you know, to target South Africa, the government of South Africa, the civil rights movement. Dr. King and them led a lot of boycotts, and they were jailed for violating boycott law. So he's being targeted. So I'm like, you know, the general consensus is these are the two worst candidates ever, unfavorability ratings ever, to run for president for these two major parties. And so I'm just looking at both of their records and just saying, man, either way you go, black people is going to be suffering under the leadership. Those are my thoughts. But y'all have specifically called out Donald Trump. And so why him specifically? And was it strategic to have the convention at the same place as the RNC, or was that just a coincidence?
You're asking all the right questions. It was not a coincidence. We had it at his convention because our convention is a counter convention to his convention. Before I say that, I want to say that there's great dissatisfaction amongst both candidates. The Democratic Party has abused us, has treated us like a mistress, will only come see us in the late of night or when they really need something. And when we really need something in the daylight hours, they will not marry us. They will not give us what we need, what we want, what they promised us. They've lied to us. So I can agree on that. And we know the Republicans just outright don't give a damn. Mr. Trump is targeted here specifically because he's the head of white supremacy in America. He's the head of white racism. He has the most diehard Confederate followers and Klan followers. And he is the most pro-police of all candidates and has threatened to unleash the police on us. So, yes, we have plans against to criticize Ms. Clinton as well. Ain't no doubt about it. We are not her goddamn voting bloc. But right now, we're going for this target. We have a forum on the opening night, July 14th, at our convention at Second Ebenezer Baptist Church in Cleveland. It's a critical forum of both candidates, Clinton and Trump. But yes, our rally is designed to send a message to this outright racist, this outright fascist, this big mouth bastard. We aim to make life rough for him. We really do. We want to make life rough for him. As I said before, I don't believe that he'll even get to deliver his keynote speech, especially with all them police out there and this atmosphere of police brutality. That's going to just make people more angry. On July 16th in Perk Plaza, at gathering at 10 a.m. for a 12 noon rally, Perk Plaza in downtown Cleveland, which is right near the Quicken Loan Center. That is right where we will be having our big anti-Trump rally. And the cause of police brutality will be on display. All our causes will be there. It's not just about him, brother, but we have to use this devil.
Right.
This goddamn devil, he uses us. He has all kind of tactics. We use him. We against him, of course, straight up. We are straight up against him. And he is one of the worst devils ever. There's no doubt about it. We also use this cracker to build our movement.
Understood.
He's a lightning rod. This devil is a lightning rod. Mm-hmm. And so you might as well Now, we can't duck the issue. And nobody even saying nothing against Trump. Nobody's confronting him. Nobody's getting in his you know what. Nobody's making him uncomfortable. Everybody else is sold out. I want a piece of his ass, and not in no homosexual way.
So as we
get
we're here. As we get ready to conclude, though, I just want to let the people know that they can find out more information for the convention of the oppressed.org. And so, you know, for people that's out of town, that's not in the Cleveland area, you know, would that be the best place for them to go to find out? And do we need tickets? Can you tell us a little bit about the details?
It'll be webcast. It will be webcast for
okay.
all information. Go to conventionoftheoppressed.org, conventionoftheoppressed.org. Get your tickets now because they're going fast. It is, again, will be webcast, conventionoftheoppressed.org. You'd want to be there live in person, July 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th in Cleveland, Ohio at 2nd Ebenezer Baptist Church, 1881 East 71st Street. 2nd Ebenezer Baptist Church, 1881 East 71st Street. The first night, Mark Lamont Hill is opening up the convention with me. And then you got the whole panel with all of the Cleveland and Ohio activists that are going to expose the racism and injustice and police brutality in Ohio. Then on the second night, Dr. Boyce Watkins and the success scholar Haki Ami and others keynoted economic summit and credit counseling and money and jobs and finance on Saturday morning at Perk Plaza, four blocks from the Quicken Loan Center. Gather at 10 for a 12 to 4 massive outdoor rally against Donald Trump and police brutality. They're one and the same. And that's going to be strong. Some of the activists from Baton Rouge and Minnesota and family where these killings are, they're coming. They're coming. And so at night, Saturday, all the rest of the events, Saturday night, New Era Detroit, Brother Polite is coming through, New Black Panther Party, awesome lineup, Black Nationalism is the theme, Black Power for Saturday night. Sunday, Dr. Cornel West joins us again. He'll be with us in the park. But he joins us again on Sunday. Our red sisters and brothers join us. Some of our Latino sisters and brothers join us. We got delegates from all around the country, activists from all around the country. This is all at 2nd Ebenezer Baptist Church. Y'all watch it. If you can't come, watch it, but I would be there. But watch it at www.conventionoftheoppressed.org. It's a black unity convention. Now it's a convention, really a state of the emergency convention due to the police, the escalated police, venomous, vicious, wicked, sadistic, and sick, murderous attack blatantly on our people and our face in this hour.
Well, I'm certainly going, I'm not able to attend because I'm tied to this station. If I'm not here, then there's no programming going on air, but I certainly will be checking it out online. But I want to implore the people, if you are able to travel, you know, to show up, because one of the themes that I have gathered is black unity, and we definitely need that more than ever, in my opinion. But thank you again, Attorney Shabazz, and we will definitely stay in touch, man. Looking forward to even speaking
Brother,
to you.
We're building
after.
A movement. You a movement man. Follow our site. There's going to be an economic resolution coming out of this convention that is going to boycott and blackout key companies that are oppressing us. There's going to be a resolution passed that is going to strengthen all of the organizations and lawyers fighting police brutality. There are going to be some serious resolutions coming out of this convention. It is not just for speaking. We are coming here to make war plans.
Great. Sounds great. Well, thank
God
you.
God bless you, brother.
Well, bless you, too, and thank you for joining us today, and we'll stay in touch. You have a great day, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As we conclude this interview, we're going to take a station identification break. And then on the other side, we will be joined by Brother Kwabena Rasuli as we talk about some of the events they got coming up in terms of clearing the community terrestrial radio airwaves of all this toxic poison that they've been putting on. Pumping into the minds of our young people for decades now. And again, I've talked about it in the past, the deliberate plan to eliminate independent black media, particularly independent black radio. And so if we're not even in control of our radio stations, don't think that your enemy is going to put something on the radio that's going to be to our community benefit. And I think that's just evident if you just read the lyrics of these songs. And it's just ridiculous for people to whine or point at the violence in our community, but then act like the radio, the violent programming on the radio station isn't playing a role in it. So we will be talking to Brother Kwabena coming up. And again, do want to continue to talk about some of the other news items of the day. If you got anything that you would like to express, because I'm just sensing a lot of emotions right now in the black community, from frustration to sadness to, you know, just straight up traumatized people, man, even more so. In the wake of these two killings. So definitely, if you got something on your mind, something you would like to express, you can give us a call at 704-951-5030. That's the studio line. You could also hit us up on the conference line. That is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. And we will bring you live on air. Do want to remind you that there is the ongoing crowdfunding for black media. We identified the problem. The problem is we're not in control of any of the media stations that's targeting our people. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is to crowdfund our own independent black media, and we hope to do that through the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. So we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back. And before we talk to Brother Kwabena here in just about 5 or 10 minutes, let's just go over some of the news today. You can find most of the news that I share on our Facebook page for the station. That is Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook. That's Black Talk Radio Network. One of the things I had posted and I shared it to our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, but I was just really disgusted at the behavior of Miss Loretta Elizabeth Lynch. That's the current U.S. Attorney General. I had already had issues with her stances on legal matters as it pertains to the drug war and other issues in the black community as we are affected by this slave catching and whatnot. But, you know, I was still willing to give her benefit of the doubt. Okay, she sold out for USA Inc. She really thinks that this is a system that we can reform and you know, she's about justice, because we always assume black people are about justice and doing what's right and being the moral conscience of this nation. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't turn out that way for a variety of reasons. But I'm just so disgusted because y'all heard me on the airways giving Loretta Lynch the benefit of the doubt with such blatant evidence of criminality concerning Hillary Clinton, such blatant violations of law, and you telling us y'all got the evidence, But Ms. Loretta Lynch, U.S. Attorney General for USA Inc., declined to prosecute. Now, y'all figure this. Think about this now. Think about this. Or make sure you don't get fooled. It's not that she didn't do anything wrong. It's not that she didn't break the laws. It's not that they don't have evidence of these broken laws. It's that they're exercising prosecutorial discretion. And they are saying, we just not going to prosecute her. I did put out a Black Talk Radio commentary, little short news segment that I do at least once a week. And, you know, on this segment, you know, I talked about the James Comey, the FBI director, just lying, saying that they couldn't find another case where somebody was prosecuted for doing what Hillary did and her aides did. And so we feel like it would be irresponsible to prosecute. And then, you know, the internet will always expose you when you lying. And then we find out there was a naval reservist just last year in 2015, around the time Hillary Clinton was just kicking off her campaign, a naval reservist who had served in Afghanistan, who had mishandled classified information, downloaded it to his phones and other devices and these briefings and other information, and took it home with him when he left out Afghanistan. And then they said he didn't intend to sell any of it or anything like that. No, he just had it. He didn't intend to do anything wrong. He was just negligent. And he broke the rules and the protocols in handling classified information. And so he didn't go to jail, but he got something like, I think it was 2 years probation, and his security clearance is revoked. That means that his military reservist career is over. You can't be in the military without a security clearance. There are different levels of security clearances, but you can't be in there. And he was an officer. So his security clearance, and he's barred from ever getting a security clearance. So I was just really disgusted, further disgusted, not surprised, but, you know, just disgusted with the lack of self-respect that these people are showing, in particular when we have black people in these positions, showcased in these positions, and they show no black self-respect. They have no free will. They are just giving up their free will. And what all free will means is you have a choice. And we all have a choice. There's nobody who doesn't have a choice. There's just consequences to each choice. And are you willing to deal with the consequences of those choices? If I go along with the prosecution of Hillary Clinton, even though we know we should prosecute her, man, I may not ever get another appointment. I won't be appointed to the Supreme Court. I won't be, you know, whatever my career aspirations are, if I go along if I go against what the white supremacists want me to do, and I say I'm recommending prosecution and all this and that, that's free will. But you also have free will to participate in the cover-up, and that shows a lack of self-respect. That you would concede your free will to practice justice just so you can get along with those who are the enemies of justice. So more or less, she has thus far in her career performed as an obedient plantation slave. She has failed, along with the FBI director, to uphold the spirit and the letter of the law. They have failed to adhere to the oaths that they took, the spirit and the letter of those oaths that they took to occupy their current posts. And this is why I say, you know, there are some people, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, as said in the counter-racist community. You got VGQ, you know. So some say we shouldn't point at these people and say anything about them or anything like that. I do agree we should engage in name calling. We should call them by their name, Miss Loretta Elizabeth Lynch. That's the name her mama gave her. Could have been her father. I don't know who named her, but that's her name. But simply pointing out the facts of the matter to the masses that this is incorrect behavior and shows an extreme lack of black self-respect, that is logical, unless we want a whole bunch of black people to emulate her behavior. And that is what happens all the time. See, these people are admired by black people, black women. She's in a sorority. They'll say, you know, pointing at Loretta Lynch, see, if you just go to school and work hard and just, you know, be an outstanding citizen, nothing can hold you back. You can be you could be the second black U.S. Attorney General in the history of USA. And you can do it. There's not just go to school and get good grades and just do everything by the book. But then, you know, when Loretta Lynch and other people like in these systems, in these showcase positions in the system, do something incorrect, do you point out to your child that was incorrect? Or do you continue to hold her up as a role model? You know, this is along the conversation that has been had where people want to talk about athletes being role models, that our children shouldn't be looking up to athletes and singers and stuff like that. Well, you know, no, you shouldn't. If you're just looking up to them because of their athletic ability or their, you know, skills at entertaining folks, no. But that is not all who they are. What are they doing when they're not on stage or when they're not on a basketball court and they're not on a football field? Are they in the community doing constructive things? If they are, then absolutely they are role models for our children. But then these people, they got titles, they got degrees, they got these positions in the systems. They're held up as role models too, and nobody calls them out when they engage in, well, I'm not going to say nobody calls them out, but a lot of times the people who have been holding these people up as role models do not then change their point, their view based on their actions. They're just in love with a title, with a position. And that also kind of plays into, you know, the traumatic stress that a lot of people are suffering under a system of oppression like the one we have, especially black people, because it instills low self-esteem in us and whatnot. So then when someone comes along and they get one of these positions and get one of these titles, you know, we're like, you know, holding them up. See, we're just as good as you. We can be presidents. We can be, you know, U.S. attorney generals. We can be Congress people and whatnot. But then we don't pay attention or we don't correct these people when they engage in proxy racism, in assisting a system of racism to continue to perpetuate itself. It's not solely on black people to try to end racism, but it is on us to do our part. It is certainly on us not to participate in the practice of injustice. We shouldn't do that. If you don't have the balls, so to speak, that's not a good word, I'm talking about a woman, but if you don't have the intestinal fortitude, if you don't have the courage, if you don't have the moral base, that when everybody around you are doing something wrong and want you to go along with it, and then you be that lone person that say, no, I'm not going along with it. If you don't have that, then you shouldn't be in these positions. If you're afraid of white power, then stay damn home. Just stay home. Stay in the house. just, you know, move the best you can behind these enemy lines, but don't seek out these positions and acting like you about, you know, reforming the system and practicing justice. And no, you practicing proxy racism. I'd rather there not be a black president. I'd rather there not be a black congressman. I'd rather there not be a black U.S. attorney general if you're going to act like that. If you're just going to emulate the behavior of the racists in the system. I'd rather you not, and to be honest with you, they don't. We don't have no black congressmen. Those are U.S. congressmen. Them ain't black congressmen. It's because they black, got black skin, don't mean that they are unified with black people and have black people's best interests at mind and always putting black people first. Their constituents. Because they only get elected to Congress unless they're, you know, willing to signal to races that, hey, I'm one of those type of Negroes. I'll sell out for some butter biscuits, sure. You know, like a Allen West or somebody like that. But for the most part, most of the non-white people in Congress are not representing us, man. And they are elected by us, those who vote. Because the majority of all people, including black people, the majority of us don't vote. But those of us who do, apparently a majority has put these people in these current positions, but we don't hold them accountable. Right now, you got 60 members of Congress who are non-white, because I'm not going to refer to them as black congressmen or anything like that. That would imply that they working on the behalf of black people, but they not. So we got these non-white congressmen, very melanated, who are now targeting Dr. Cornel West and criticizing Bernie Sanders and coming together to prevent any kind of plank in the Democratic platform, the Democratic Party's platform, that would say that they are against the racism and white supremacy as practiced by Israel against the Palestinian people. Any efforts to recognize the rights of Palestinians, the human rights of Palestinians, the Zionist Democrats don't want that in there. So that should tell you something, that they believe in injustice. And for non-white people to belong to a group or be identified, you ain't got to belong to the group, because I don't see you as being part of the community. But then for these people, some of them have been attacked by racist white cops, have been victims of this racist government, have seen their friends and colleagues like Dr. King, like Malcolm X and others assassinated by this government, for you to then side with that government that is engaged in the very same behavior it has always engaged in, and that is genocide, land theft, and waging, just outright waging war. So that's just disgusting behavior, man. That's really not cool. It's not correct. And we got to instill this in our children. If we're going to be, you know, telling our children to, you know, about the system and how it works, we can't ignore any part of it or any of these people and say, you know, okay, little Johnny, you want to grow up to be a congressman, this is how you don't want to be. You want to work for the people. You want to be, first and foremost, working to implement a system of justice. But, you know, this stuff that you're seeing these people do, that's incorrect. It, you know, or have them ask them questions. Is it right for these Democrats to be against holding it, not even holding Israel accountable, but calling them out for their anti-social sociopathic behavior towards non-white people in that region of the world. Is it correct for them to do that? Hopefully, you know, children aren't stupid as we like to think they are, and you ask them a question in the right way, they will give you the answer, because a child's nature is to practice justice. It really is. I think, you know, children know right and wrong better than some of us adults, because adults will compromise their principles for other game. Children, they not yet corrupted like that. So they, you know, will give you an honest answer. And usually 9 times out of 10, that answer will be based on justice. So let's go to the phone lines. Oh, man, I need to get Brother Quabana on. But let's go to the phone lines. Area code 803. I think that's Brother Max. What's going on?
Indeed, Scotty. What's happening, brother? How you doing today, man?
Just kind of tired. Kind of, you know, talked out. You know, just frustrated. That's the best way I could put it, man.
Indeed. Same here, brother. I have not been able to sleep throughout the night after watching, you know, while we were talking about the one snuff film on New Abolitionist Radio with Alton Sterling, the other man was being murdered, you know, and then right after the program, I had to watch that on live stream video. And then I was looking forward to today's interviews because I wanted to ask the brothers personally a question, as I mentioned to you last time on New Abolitionist Radio. I want to know where the abolitionist voices are. I want to know who's talking about ending slavery. I hear everybody talking about, you know, how we've got to look at the cops as they're killing us and they're doing this, but it ain't just about cops. The cops are just one component in this whole system, and just pointing at them is ignoring everything else. So where are the abolitionist voices out of all of these people you got lined up? I want to know.
Why you didn't call us, bro? Why you didn't call us and ask them?
I've been on the phone for about 15 minutes, maybe 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I must have didn't see the board when you came in. You know,
I just want to know. I'm getting tired of these conversations happening as a circle jerk where everybody's sitting around agreeing before they ever say a word that the problem can be reformed. I'm just tired of it, that you can do something to fix this and not address slavery.
Well, how about we do it like this, though? How about we do it like this, Max? All right, so Wednesday is the 13th. The conference don't start on the 14th. Next Wednesday is the 13th. We can reach out to him and invite him back for New Abolitionist Radio. And I apologize if I missed your call.
No, that's all right, brother. Just don't worry about it. As I said, I've been without sleep. I'm tired, and I'm distraught, and just seeing these things has made me feel some kind of way, and I'm at the point now where I'm holding people accountable. I'm getting tired of this crap of running around in circles chasing our tails, where 55 people sit around going, well, what we need is reform, and not a single voice among them can stand up and say, no, what we need to do is abolish slavery.
Right.
That's the reason these young men are dead. Louisiana is the prison capital of the entire world. Every parish has its own private little kingdom where the king is the sheriff, and he's working with private prisons, sending his sheriffs out every day to collect bodies that they put in these vaults like gold bars. It doesn't make any sense, man.
Brother Quabana, hold on, Brother Quabana. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Scotty. I don't mean to take up too much of your time. As I said, I'm distraught today. I'm upset.
Hey, man, you can never take up too much of my time. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I just feel like it's time to start asking this question. Where are the abolitionists? Where are the abolitionist voices? If you already agree before you walk in the door, it's not a discussion.
Well, he said they're going to be making war plans. So the only thing we can do is just, you know, see what comes out of it, man. But I certainly do agree, though, man. We do need to be organized. See, I said this the other night. The problem with black people is that it's not that we're outnumbered, we're outgunned and all of that, because anybody that studied military history knows that a small force can defeat a much larger force. So it's not even about that. What we lack is organization. And somebody shared a meme of what's the brother name, Bobby, helped found the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, yeah. And so he had said that as well, man. I didn't even realize, you know, that he had said, I might have heard him say it, man. I didn't listen to a bunch of their speeches, but he said, we're not outnumbered, we're out organized. So any attempts to organize, man, I do support, but I also hear you, Max, that if we're just going to sit around, and I think I might have mentioned that during the program, of talking, we've been talking for years, you know, that's what's going to change. So, you know, but everybody should be attempting to counter racism, man. So, you know, they could be doing nothing, is the way I'll put it. But I hear you, Max, and you know I'm down with you. If you don't even recognize the true problem, which is slavery. Now, a lot of people say the problem is white people or racism or white supremacy, and they had a reason for saying that. I disagree on that minor point, because I know that white supremacy came out of the slave codes, right? That's when the first, you know, when white supremacy started being legislated, was right in the Virginia slave codes for the Virginia colony, right? So slavery is the, that's number one. All this other stuff is symptoms of slavery. So I feel you, bro. I feel you. And I wish you had been invited.
Yeah, I wish as well, brother. I would go out there even if I couldn't walk and be heard, because we need these voices. We need people who believe that slavery never ended, and what we're facing is legalized slavery, to speak up at these events and say, no, you can't reform a crime against humanity. You have to abolish it and offer this alternative perspective that is certainly missing from the conversations right now.
Now, Philando Castile, I believe is the brother's name, that had the concealed carry permit. And see, that again, slave codes, man. He informed him that I had a gun. I got a gun.
It was for a taillight, Scotty.
I'm licensed.
For a taillight.
Okay, yeah. But he notifies him. Well, he doing his job, Max. Okay, that's why I tell my daughters and whatnot, you know, to always check the car, check the brake lights and whatnot. Don't give them a reason to stop you. Okay, so we know that's the reason they're going to stop you. But he pulls him over. So he informs him that I am armed, I have a concealed and carry permit. And so that just reminds me of the slave codes. That's when they first started stripping black people, not slaves, but free black people of their rights to own guns. That's when they don't want us owning guns. They don't want us exercising what is now called the Second Amendment right to bear arms and whatnot. They don't want. So even though he informed him, he had all this of that, that dude just wanted to kill him. And he killed him. He killed him. So anyway, but man, I got to move on. We got our guest, our second guest.
Let me get off. Just a quick shout out to Sister Nakima Levy Pounds, who is leading the fight out in Minnesota right now. We stand with you.
Right. She's an abolitionist. She is an abolitionist. All right, Max. Okay, brother.
Q&AQ is
brother
clear.
Quabena, I apologize for my lateness, man, and then you hanging on patiently for about 5 minutes. Thank you for joining us today. For those that don't know or have not heard, Mr. Quabena Rasuli, he is with Clear the Airways Project, and he's a regular contributor to this program on a bi-weekly basis. And he's coming on to talk to us again about another upcoming event towards ridding the community airways of the toxic music that I'm saying is the soundtrack of the destruction of black life in the black community. Brother Quabena, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Brother Scotty, man, always good to be with you, man. And especially on this time, it looks like they've increased their attack on us with the police, and they're doing it, of course, in all sorts of ways. And, you know, I heard Brother Max And earlier I had a chance to listen in, and I know we're still trying to do what we can do to combat these issues dealing with this attack on us on so many different fronts, and so many different distractions, so many things that are that we struggle with, man. So no problem. I know you got to do what you got to do. We just appreciate you and Black Talk Radio and what it means to us.
Thank you. Thank you. So, again, for those who may be hearing you for the first time, lay out for them, Brother Kwabena, the mission of Clear the Airways Project.
Okay, Clear the Airways Project is a project aimed at getting vile, vulgar, and violent music off radio stations targeting young Africans. We've been working on this for a while. We've worked with other groups like Rage Against the Ratchet out of Philly, the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People, based in New York and Los Angeles, and Do Better Now, which is a group out of Jacksonville, Florida, has been successful in challenging Clear Channel and their spreading of vile, ignorant, dumbing down music on the masses of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've been working on for a while. We started a campaign actually a couple of years ago after young Hydea Pendleton was killed in Chicago. We hooked up with a group called Culture Freedom Group, and we formed and Concerned Citizens Against Violence in Gary, Indiana, and we started Clear the Airways Project. So we started a campaign to hit up the McDonald's, which is like the number one sponsor of this ratchet music throughout the country. When you hear it on the radio, you typically hear commercial spots with McDonald's saying, yeah, we enjoy this type of music too. We know y'all enjoy it, so now if you don't listen to that crap, come buy one of our triple cheeseburgers or one of our shakes during the summer. So, you know, and we know that one of the ways you deal with this is you deal with the sponsors. And so that's just one of the ways that we do it. So that's what we're doing now. We hit the first black-owned McDonald's in the country for like well over a year. And them Negroes, man, they didn't pay much attention at all. They kind of really disrespected us in our attempt to get them to say, hey, we're in Chicago, we're based in Chicago. We see a problem with our children shooting and killing each other, our youth, and we see a problem with the music that supports it. And so, okay, yeah, we're going to get on them to have them, hey, stop advertising on these stations. But we didn't get that from them, but we didn't stop.
Right.
So now we started a campaign in 2016 at the beginning of the year and said we're going to get this crap off the radio before the end of 2016, and that's too long. So half the year's up. We're making some progress, but we need some more warriors, some more support. And this is just, again, another battlefront dealing with this attack on our people. And one of the main ways you attack people is through their minds. Steve Biko said, the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And got to look at our culture. Music is the main part of people's culture, one of the main aspects of culture, which is defined as a people's way of life. And if you constantly listen to music that's telling, that's dehumanizing you, that's telling you should be killing each other, that you should be high on Molly, that your women ain't number B's and H's, and that you're number N's, then this is what you get. And so that's our fight right there. We've been going to the McDonald's in Gary, Indiana, on the corner of 35th and Grant Street in the wretched city of struggling chocolate city of Gary, Indiana, during this latest campaign. We'll be out there again on July 16th. And we had a pretty good turnout last time. It actually was one of the best since we've had since we were in Chicago. So I had a lot of good people out there and a lot of new people.
That's
so
great.
So trying to mobilize more. Yeah, that was very encouraging.
Yeah, because, you know, you had been on before and you said at the last event that y'all had right before, you know, you came on air with us, there was only five people there. So
yeah, and the one before that, it was only like two people.
Okay. So we're seeing progress in you know, people identifying the problem and or see what you're doing as identifying part of the problem. Because here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I listen to a diversity of voices. Again, we are not a monolithic people. We have different experiences, different income levels and whatnot. And, you know, I'm just seeing that, man, a lot of us, we don't even view the community in the same way, you know. And I hear a lot of, you know, middle class, upper middle class black folks, man, and they talk about, you know, the violence in the community, and they talk about, you know, we need to solve this problem, and they're not coming at it from the, you know, as enemies, but they just don't seem to understand it. And then, you know, also some of them are quite cynical in their view of poor black people in these areas and whatnot. But they say that there's nobody really out there. You're mad about cops killing us, but are you mad about it when, you know, we kill ourselves and you know, all the blah, 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 you know, that typical argument. But then they never acknowledge that there are people out there that is trying to address that violence, but at the same time, they are ignoring the corporate role in the violence.
Exactly. And the corporations, I mean, we give the example of when Rush Limbaugh disrespected Sandra Fluke, a European co-ed, and he called us sluts and everything, and after 3 days, he lost 13 sponsors. And again, they disrespect our women, our sisters, 24/7, 365. And isn't my daughter on our little sisters, on our mothers, just as important as Sandra Fluke? You know, and they do this constantly, brother, and you're so correct, man. And we think about how, like you said, our people say, you know, you guys just deal with police violence, but not the violence between each other. Well, it's all part of the same system. It's all part of the same system. You know, I think about when I look at the video of the sister in Baton Rouge, by the way, where I went to school at. That's my people. A lot of my people live in Louisiana. I went to Southern University. And actually, I slang CDs too sometimes. So when I look at that and see what happened to him, and look at his son, how emotional he was, how, you know, it was just tough to watch. When I see the sister in Minnesota, and you know how calm she was, but also breaking down as she did, and how her daughter was strong, and you know, 40-year-old daughter. When I see all that, man, I also got to face reality too, Brother Scotty. That happens every day when these brothers and sisters get shot down and killed out here. It's not shown on the news as such like this. Sometimes it is, but we have those things every day, man. The police out here in Chicago on the early 4th of July morning, they were on the news almost bragging about there were only 28 shootings so far this weekend. Only 28 and only 2 murdered. And, man, by the end of the day, 20 more people got shot in Chicago, 21 more people.
Wow.
And then on the next day, July 5th, 18 more people were shot. 18 more people. And those people look just like you and I. You turn the radio on, I hear a McDonald's commercial, followed by the McDonald's commercial, was the first song they played was My In, My In. YG, Pull Homie Quan and all them, dropping 120 N-bombs in a 4-minute song. I F my first B with My In, My In. I F the N-B. You know, I mean, and, you know, talking about killing people in the song, and all the while dropping in bombs, and it has a definite, it plays a definite role. And we aim to stop it, bro, and we need warriors out there, and we're going to stop it, but again.
Yeah. Listen, it shouldn't be hard for people to understand. Now, it's widely acknowledged that propaganda is used to dehumanize a person or the people that you want to attack. So to get the general population behind that, that's why, like, for example, American Indians in the white press were always portrayed as savages who have no culture, you know, just straight up lies, demonizing them. We see the same thing towards black people. And so this helps perpetuate, you know, racism in the hearts of white people. You know, even Malcolm X even talked about this. But then it also, I don't think it's spoken about enough, that it also dehumanizes us in each other's eyes. So that's why we don't feel like, you know, feel like it's a big deal for me to blast on another brother or something, because I'm not seeing them as a brother. I'm seeing them as a nigga.
As an N.
Right. And we not acknowledge, this is straight up science, man. This is straight up science that we've seen it throughout history. And so, you know, if we're not calling out McDonald's, Walmart, whatever, the local barbershop, it don't matter. If they sponsoring, and that is what they're doing by advertising on a station, right? But see, here's the thing, though, Brother Quabena. They will advertise Homie Quan and all of that garbage and all those clear channel radio stations, but they won't advertise on this station right here, Black Talk Radio. You know, I posted some of our videos from some of our programs from this program, BTR News, you know, different interviews with people to YouTube. And, you know, I get a message back about advertisers don't think it's advertiser friendly. And so there won't be any ads on these videos. You know, I guess I should be thankful they just didn't outright ban them, you know, and delete them. But see, that's it. They will promote all this garbage on our local radio stations, but when it comes to some real talk, black talk, oh no.
Yeah, and that's where that self-determination comes in, and we have to stay on our people and the businesses that we do have to support, and to support movements in radio and media like this. And so you're so right, brother. I need to do better with supporting you and putting it out there too, man. Just supporting this whole movement, but this is a movement. But, you know, and you brought up the thing, the Malcolm speech that he gave in 1963 in Los Angeles, where a portion of it, he talked about the media and how the media makes, depicts us. And it makes the police back then, he talked about make them scared of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and it makes
did.
Us scared of us. I look at the two brothers again, the ones who just were shot down by these police. And both of them had guns on them. You know, whether they were, I don't know, I think one of them was licensed, I don't know if the other ones was licensed or not, but we know it's a license in the hood because people have to protect themselves because of the fratricide, like you said, that's been so prevalent in our community. So it's, man, people everywhere, I wouldn't say are shocked or numb, but with these two incidents happening in the last couple of days, man, people are on edge, dude. It's crazy out here now, and it's interesting. We have a 50th anniversary of Black Power meeting coming up in Gary. The Mayor Hatcher's daughter, Renee, who's a strong sister, works and teaches law in Baltimore, but she's helping to organize that. That's taking place here in Gary on this coming weekend, and I'm sure that's going to come up because I know Black Lives Matter is going to be there, and some other progressives are going to be there dealing with that, and I heard about the program going on in Cleveland. And so, like you said, we're getting together and talking, so we'll see what happens, what comes out of this, man. So,
right.
Now, even like East Chicago, which is a community of mostly African, Latinx community, they're having a concert, a peace concert, with people like Young Slug, y'all call him Young Thug, people like, what's this dude name? He made a song called Preach, where he says, I don't trust no N, all I trust is my gun, pretty much, my gat, however you refer to it. You know, that's coming up in East Chicago, where they're bringing these fools out here to rap about killing people at a peace conference. At a peace concert.
That's just insane.
Yes. And so we got to get our heads out of the sand and understand this is a big problem too, bro. So
yep.
The 16th, man, we're out here again in Gary. Again, we're going to hope to triple the amount of people that are coming out, and again, to make sure that McDonald's stops buying commercials on these stations. And once that happens, dude, it's like we think it's gonna snowball from there, and we'll be able to put it into this crap. We must. We can. And we must put in that work, Brother Scotty.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, just all the churches in Gary, all the mosques in Gary, just all the people who look at themselves as upstanding citizens, law-abiding citizens, and want, you know, a peaceful, safe place for their children to grow up in, man, they should be out there with y'all, bro. And I think... Man, with that kind of unity in the community, man, y'all would have the station totally, the format totally changed, man. But that's the problem, though. We are not unified, and we are disorganized, and that is why your work is so important on that front.
Well, we pleading with them, man. We be pleading with them. Come on, let's can we come talk to the group? Can y'all come out here? It's only an hour and a half every other week that we're out here, but it can make a big difference if we got a good crowd and set that crap down. But come on, we be pleading with them all the time, but we don't say we need y'all. We not tell people, well, Kwame, no, this is not me. It's not my movement. If I could have did this shit like Brother Kwame Ture said, if I could have freed Africa and freed my people by myself, I'd have did it a long time ago. One person can't do this. We have to be organized to do it. Like you, the quote you said from Bobby, we got to be organized, man.
Right. Well, thank you, Brother Kwabena. Again, you said it's going down on the 16th. Is it going down at that same McDonald's for our people in that in the listening in our listening audience that's in that area nearby? When and where can they get more information and details?
The best way is to check us out, Clear the Airways Project. Search that, or also you can look at it, look it up on Facebook. That's the best way to do it.
Okay.
And it's going to happen again at the McDonald's on 35th and Grant Street in the city of Chocolate City of Gary, Indiana, and that's on the 16th of July, bro. And we need warriors out there, and so we appreciate you once again.
All right, Brother Kwabena, you have a good day, man. Stay safe out there.
All right, Scotty, you too, bro. We'll be in touch.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, so that wraps up our interview with Brother Kwabena. Again, I guess I could put it on education and a lack of information, but I just don't see how so many people in our community aren't able. And talking about the issue of violence in our community, quote unquote, black on black crime, that why people can't put two and two together and see the role that murder music plays in programming these young people's minds to engage in such behavior, desensitizes them to violence, and also dehumanizes people who look just like them. So then when they go out there, they don't see these as a cousin, as a brother, as a sister, or no, like you know, we hear in the music, they see other black people as niggas, as hoes, as bitches, as sluts, and drug dealers, and drug addicts, and come on, y'all, we really permitting this on our community airwaves? See, people want to talk about that First Amendment freedom of speech. There is nothing free, and there's consequences to everything, and it is not a violation of a station, so-called a corporation, so-called freedom of speech to air obscene material into the community. That's what the FCC is there for, but they often do not regulate like they supposed to, and a lot of times they don't. It's because they're not getting enough complaints, written complaints or phone calls from a particular community. But I bet you if like 50% of the people in Gary that see this as an issue would call the FCC or send an email to FCC naming the radio station as putting on the offensive music and what have you, they would act. They would sanction those stations. Those stations would be in danger of losing their federal license to be on the public airwaves. People need to understand what that means. That means that you, as a taxpayer, as a member of that community, those are your airways, that those radio stations are assigned frequencies to pump content into your community. You have control over that. At least that's what it says in the guidelines that the community. So if we don't exercise our power, then it's just as good as not having any power. Again, you know, sometimes we deal in extremes and we say black people are powerless people and you know, this, that, and the other. And that's just simply not true. We don't have as much power in certain areas as other people, but we do have power. And the number one power that we have is the power of unity and a unified voice and taking action. So we just need to do more of that. All right, I want to thank our guest today, Mr. Shabazz, for joining us to speak about the upcoming Convention of the Oppressed, and also Brother Kwabena Rasuli, who joined us to talk about the work of the Clear the Airways Project. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, we will have more live streaming with the Tando Radio Show. Still waiting to hear from BIB Radio to see if they will be on air tonight, and that would round out the live program for tonight. But again, this station is on 24/7, serving up live and pre-recorded programming for your edification. Again, do want to remind you of the crowdfunding campaign. That's Crowdfunding Black Media. You can find the page on our website, blacktalkradionetwork.com, as well as our website for the nonprofit, blacktalkmediaproject.org. And you will see a tab in the menu that says Crowdfunding Black Media. And you'll get a history lesson about, and it's recent history, not going back to the 60s, but just going back to the 1996 Telecommunications Act and the impact it had on eliminating independent black radio. So you'll find out about that and the different ways that you can give to the Black Talk Media Project so we can continue to fund our media propaganda operations. With that said, going to close out the program. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines, especially if you're a black person, non-white people in general. So you need to develop skills of survival. You also have to, you know, really you have to pick and choose your battles. You really, 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 really do. I know people get tired. Sometimes they get tired of being bullied. They get tired of being pushed around. But when a person has you in a position of disadvantage, then, you know, you might as well go ahead and comply until you are in a better situation to deal with that. And that might be later down the road. But don't get it twisted. You could do everything right. You could do everything right. You could follow the rules. You can, you know, just do your best not to harm other people, and you still just get gunned down, man. Not just by people on the street, but by cops on the street, man. We live in terrible times, but when has it not been a terrible time to be black in America, man? Wow. It's just really sad, man. But we do want to have hope. We do want to continue to resist, cause to give up, man, that's just out of the question. So we just have to, I guess, regroup and strategize and come together. But we got to do something, man. We can't just keep talking. We just can't keep talking. And everything, though, that we need to do ain't to be talked about in public. So I hope some of those conversations will be going on at this convention. All right, with that said, peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe out there. I'll be back on air tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. I'm out.